Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for a message, Luke 7:47. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for meeting us here today. We pray that we would know the wonder and the depth and the width and the breadth of your grace. And we might live lives of worship and faith and love as the woman in our story. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Does anybody find it easy to notice the sins in other people? Is it just me? Right? It's not very hard, is it? You know, you're out in a crowd, especially when people stand out. Maybe they have beer in their hand, though, and they appear a little intoxicated. It might be kind of easy to judge them, and right? Oh, they're one of those people, or see them smoking, or like, oh, that's one of those people, you know, they must spend a lot of money on cigarettes or something. Right, I was even on doing some tubing yesterday, right, and it tends to be kind of an event where you get a lot of both of those things. I remember just seeing some people, you know, and it's like, yeah, they looked drunk, and they looked like they've had too many and doing a lot of smoking and maybe some marijuana, and it's like so easy to just think, oh, those are those people. You know, those are the sinners that I don't want to talk to. I'm glad I'm not like those people, right? It can be so easy to think that way. Or maybe you've had an experience with alcohol, or struggle with that, or smoking, or something else like that. It might be easier to not judge those people then, because you see that in your own life, or you've known, well, I've gone through that, I know what that's like. But then when we see sins in other people that we haven't maybe struggled with as much, it's easy for us to judge and to think of those people as sinners, or somehow beyond or not deserving of the grace of God, right? And that's kind of the trick the devil has brought us into as a church, right? I think we all get the idea that we're sinners. We would agree with that statement. But yet it seems like in our practice, we don't always live that way. It seems to be this list of acceptable and non-acceptable sins, right, in the church that would be worthy of grace, right, or that are in need of grace. There's the sins of maybe alcoholism wouldn't be as shunned upon nowadays. There's a lot of evidence that shows it's harmful to other people. There's a lot of evidence that shows it can be something you're born with, that you have a prone thought pattern or a weakness to that kind of behavior. So maybe we wouldn't judge someone as much for that. But then there's other sins, like maybe sexual sins, like this woman in our gospel reading most likely was a prostitute or an adulteress, right? She was someone in town that was known to be the sinner. And it can be easy for us to judge those people. Not that we should say, oh, that's not sinful. That's okay. Just do what you want. No, it is sinful. But it's that we act towards them as though they're not worthy of grace. And maybe even not deserving grace. How would you react to someone who struggled or who committed adultery, or someone who struggled with pornography, or someone who struggled with lust, or someone who had shot someone? Like the shooter yesterday in Orlando. Wow. Is that person worthy of grace? How would Jesus deal with that person? Or that person around town, in those small towns, don't you always have those people that are known as the sinners? Right? Let's see, all those are bad people. Yeah, you just gotta stay away from them, right? Or in your anytime there's a small group of people, there's always those people that seem to be the outcasts, right? You don't want to associate with them. Or even in schools, we do this too, right? Those are the people that we got to stay away from. When we do that because our pride is getting in the way of the love of Jesus pouring out of our hearts. The reason our pride gets in the way is because we want to avoid our own sin and avoid our own debt of sin that we owe God, and that God has forgiven us freely. Because again, it sounds nice to hear that forgiveness, but do we really want to look and see just how sinful we are? Just how much God has forgiven us? Because what happens when we don't, and we avoid God's word and we despise God's word, as Nathan tells David in our Old Testament reading, you despise the word of God, you've ignored him. And what happens? He tells the story of this guy who steals the poor man's ewe lamb, that's all he has, and he's quick to judge him, and quick to say, he is not worthy of grace, he is worthy of punishment fourfold. But then, to David's surprise, he finds out that he is the man. He was that man. He committed something just as horrendous, possibly even worse, in allowing his husband to get killed in battle, basically murder, right? Committing adultery with Bathsheba, then taking her as his wife. Did something far worse than this person that he was quick to judge. And that's what can happen when we avoid the Word of God to come into our lives and to convict us and to show us just how much we need God. It can be easier to just try to rely and to see ourselves based on what other people say. And what other people think of us, right? Well, I know a lot of people will say I'm a good person. A lot of people will say I'm not, you know, the sinner, the outcast in the town. I don't think any of you have that reputation, but, you know, we probably have friends who will say that. Oh, they're a pretty good person, right? And it can be easy to just kind of let that be. Maybe think about, well, I did some really bad stuff in the past, but now, yeah, I guess I'm pretty good. But see, one of the most amazing things in this Old Testament story with David is that David was described as one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament. He was described as a man literally after God's heart. And yet, he is the one who committed these horrendous sins. He's the one who did. And so how can we then think that we are so much better than David, that we would never do anything bad or never really need grace that much? So my prayer today, my hope for you, is that you would all be able to picture yourselves as this woman who comes to Jesus the sinful woman. You notice in the story how open and honest she is about her love for Jesus. Would it be kind of weird for the person, whoever it is in your mind, that person in your town or community that's kind of known as the outcast or the bad person, what if they just showed up in your house while you're eating? Would that be a welcome thing for you? Would that be something that, oh yeah, come on in. There's a place at the table for you. Well, that's basically what it was for this Pharisee, Simon. Really wasn't even allowed. I read in one commentary, it wasn't even normal for women to be invited to these banquets. Outsiders could come in and listen, you know, so they could hear the wise people, what they had to say, but it would be really unacceptable for this sinful woman to come in, not only listen, but to then come weep in front of this teacher, this rabbi. And instead of Jesus sending her away and saying, get out, he just lets her worship him. And he tells her, your sins, though many, are forgiven. And that's the point of this story. It's not about a woman who does some acts of love, crying on his feet and wiping it with her hair, and then she somehow makes herself worthy of forgiveness. It's a story about a man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who comes into our world as the one who is able to repay that debt of sin that we all have before a holy God. And it's a debt that we cannot pay. There's no amount of love, there's nothing we could achieve that would make up for it, or we could somehow say, well, I guess now I'm good enough to come to Jesus. There's nothing we could do. And yet even those sins that we don't want to acknowledge, even those sins that maybe we don't see, Jesus died for those too. He knows all of those. He knows all of the ones that you're going to commit. He knows even the ones that you don't want to talk about or haven't shared with people. He knows just how big the debt is that you owe him. And he willingly went to the cross anyway to pay the price for that. So that you would know you're not forgiven a little, but you're forgiven a lot. So that you would not have to live comparing yourself with other people, trying to make yourself feel better by judging other people, and being afraid of God's word, or being afraid of coming to Jesus and growing in a close relationship with him. No, he did it so that you would be at peace with him. Because you know that your sins are forgiven because of the price that he paid on the cross. See, and as we get into the Word, and as we study, and as we see, hey, even in this example, all of our times of judging and all of our times of wanting to marginalize people and be like Simon the Pharisee, who didn't even love Jesus at all. Didn't even think he was a prophet. You know, we sometimes act the same way. But we still know the depth of the grace of Jesus. And it comes from letting the Word of God examine and convict our hearts. Because we can either try to ignore it and use that to make ourselves feel good, and to use that to build up our worth. Or we can let it come into our hearts and show us. And then let that sin show us just how much bigger the cross of Jesus is. We see clearly in Galatians in our reading that no one can be justified before God by the law, by what we do. For them, it was the law of Moses, most likely, in keeping all the commandments. And for us today, it's the same thing. Galatians 3:11. Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous will live by faith. There's no amount of things that we do that can make us right with God, that can pay that debt. And the reason Christ became a curse for us is that we could not ever keep the law perfectly. So my question for you to think about is, how do you see yourself if you were in this story and came to Jesus? And you saw how he openly bids you to come and to have his peace. Would you think, well, this is kind of nice. I had a couple sins I was guilty about. Thanks. Or would you think, wow, what a savior. There's no possible way I could ever repay you. There's no possible way I could ever say that I'm worthy to come to you. And yet you tell me that all of my debt is paid. It changes the way you not only see yourself, you learn to see we see ourselves from God's eyes. Not as the world sees us, not as other people see us, although it can help, right? Other people can show us where we're sinning, call us to repentance. But we don't have to let the positive affirmations blow up our heads with pride. We don't have to let the accusations from the world drive us to despair. We have the steady gaze of the eyes of Jesus. Tell us you're forgiven and you're deeply loved. And I know everything that you've done and it's paid for. So that's why I like the woman we worship Jesus. Not only here, but as we go out in our lives. And that faith in the grace of God that outpours into our lives and how we view other people and how we view the world and each other. And other people too will see that love of Jesus in our lives. And those sins that used to be sources of shame, sources of guilt, sources of changing our self-worth, now become sources of grace. Sources of testimony to God's love. Just think about how many people have come to faith through reading this story. If God shows grace to this woman, who's considered one of the greatest sinners. And I guess he can show grace to me. We have not been forgiven a little. We have been forgiven much. In Jesus' name, amen. peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus.